If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5 as we continue our study through the Bible. You know, it's interesting that Paul, as a good father and as a good apostle of Jesus Christ, teaching Timothy concerning the last things that would come to pass in the last days in chapter 4 as we had been studying in 1 Timothy. And then here in chapter 5 now, what he's going to do, he's going to speak to us concerning some of the things that Paul was concerned with Timothy as a young pastor. And one of the things that he will be dealing with now is instructing us concerning the ministry of special groups in the church. That is, the widows, those that had lost their husbands, those that had no financial support, and then those that had financial support, and then at the same time, not only the old widows, but young widows that had lost their husbands while they were young. What do you do when your husband dies at the age of 30 or 40 or 50? Do you get remarried again, or do you become a widow the rest of your life? So Paul takes the time to talk to Timothy because in the church they were having these difficult things concerning, you know, widows and old widows and young widows and the older men and the young men in the church. And what's interesting here is that now as Paul is instructing Timothy, the first problem that you know about the early church, the actual early church faced, was not only that the church was growing rapidly and a lot of people were being added to the church, but in the book of Acts chapter 6, as this problem arises, the widows or the actual widows are being neglected by the elders of the church. And the reason is because they're so busy studying, praying, visiting people and doing all these things that Peter and, you know, the apostles get together and they have a little meeting together and they gather together seven people that are full of the Holy Spirit, one of them being Stephen. Remember Stephen, the one that was stoned to death because he preached to the Jews about Jesus. But what's amazing about that is as they choose these seven men, the Lord gives them not only the wisdom and the knowledge, but he baptizes them with the Holy Spirit. Let me read to you what he says in chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. He says, "Now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrew and by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in daily distribution. And then the 12 apostles summoned the multitude and of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God to serve tables.'" You know, that there was a problem where they said, you know what, we're studying, we're praying, who's going to teach? Who's going to give the word of God? So why don't we come up with an idea for those that have been around for a while now that have proved themselves, and why don't we ask God what he really wants us to do to take care of this problem? So now in verse 3 he says, "Therefore, brethren, seek out among you seven men," notice the qualifications, "men of good reputation." They have to be blameless. "Secondly, full of the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word of God." And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Perneas, Nicolas, a proselyte of Antioch, and whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. So we begin to see here that that first problem that the early church was actually facing was a neglecting of the widows. They were not being taken care of financially, physically, in every way you could, or spiritually. And so the Holy Spirit spoke, and they chose these seven men that would now begin to take care of the situation, like the deacons, And they would begin to take care of those smaller needs while the pastors would study the Word of God. That's why here at Calvary Chapel, what we try to do is we try to have enough staff members so they can take care of the situation and problems within the body of Christ. Because can you imagine what it would be for me as a senior pastor to take care of every prayer group and every need in the church? I wouldn't be able to do it. I would kill myself, you know, literally, physically. But that's how, you know, when we train men in the ministry here, and as God raises up men and women in the church here, imagine all the people that are involved in taking care of the Sunday school, the parking, all the ushers, and then, you know, with the Somebody Loves You crusades, the radio ministry, missions, and there's so many ministries here at Calvary Chapel. But you see, as God begins to see the needs, what does He do? He raises up people to take care of those needs so that we can give ourselves to prayer and to the Word so that we can teach the Word of God. The reason I say that is because there are a lot of pastors that today are not really spending time in the Word of God. They're too busy doing other things of less importance, like playing golf. Or going here or going there. And it's really sad because, you know, as you look at the Church of Christ today, there's a great neglect of people's needs. Because the pastors and the elders and the staff, instead of really praying and seeking the Lord for the mind of the Lord, you know, they're not doing that, but everybody has their own agenda. And a church like that will never work. And I always have a real problem because I like to question pastors. Especially when you call them and not in, they say, well, he's not going to be here for the next couple of days. Well, where is he? Well, he's taking some time off. Well, that's great. But what about the church? What about the needs of the people? You see? It's really important that people are taken care of, especially in the church. Because God's given the church to be overseen by the elders of the church and by the deacons and by the pastors. And yet we see that in our church, we have set up the pastoral staff to take care of the weddings, to take care of the hospital calls, to take care of the prayer meetings, to take care of counseling, whatever need there may be there. The women have the women's fellowship. And they have, you know, how women can minister to other women. These are very important ministries within the church. If you don't have those kind of ministries, then the church will never really extend their borders. And there'll be internal problems as good as outside problems. And so it's really important that here, when Paul is talking to Timothy, he's saying, Timothy, I know that the church is really growing, but I see some problems that could really disturb the church, and it can be a problem to you as the pastor of Ephesus. So I want to share with you some of these problems here. So Paul here is going to be talking to Timothy about the family of God, how to treat the older members like mothers and the older men like fathers and the younger members in the body of Christ like brothers and sisters. It's real important. So look how he begins now, beginning with chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. He says, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers. Here Paul is dealing again with Timothy's behavior towards the older couples, elderly people. You know, there is an age where there's a lot of times where people think, well, you know, I'm getting up into my 60s and I'm going to have to start thinking about retirement and, you know, what am I going to do when I retire? But you will see throughout the night today here as we study God's Word that Paul is going to exhort elderly people, especially widows that are already 60 years old and over, that they should really never retire, but that's a time to really get involved in the church and in ministry. Because playtime is the devil's time. And he's going to share with you how many elderly people also have been neglected by their families. This is one thing that I have seen, is I have not only visited in the past, my grandmother and my father, and as I go to different hospitals or elderly places, It's so sad to walk down the hallway and to go into a room and the nurses to come in and to say, can you talk to this person here? Because he has no family. They've abandoned him or her. Sad. But it happens in the church. God has created marriage for a purpose. When God gave you a wife and then God gives you that husband, it's so that you can come together and obey God's laws and become one with Him in the Lord. And at the same time, as you come to know each other as husband and wife, to have children, and as you teach your children about God and the things of the Lord, Paul's going to tell us in a moment that as we train our children and we take care of them in old age, they should be able to take care of you, and also your grandchildren will be taking care of you. This is the biblical way. But today, people are very selfish. Very selfish. And Paul is going to tell us that when there are widows, they have no food. And they have no money, that the children and the grandchildren are to take care of all of their needs. Interesting. And yet people don't think like that today. What are people doing? Stacking it up for themselves. And yet Paul, writing by the power of the Holy Spirit here, in giving instruction to Timothy about elderly people and younger people, he gives him good advice, because Paul here is giving advice to young Timothy, because he's not an old man. He's between 30 years old. And he's talking about how he says, first of all, do not rebuke an older man. Why? Because there's a lot of times the younger people can lose respect for older people. Think how some young kids treat their older parents, rebuking them, when yet there's no respect for the parents. And yet Paul is saying here that it's very important for elderly people not to be rebuked, and for younger people to be exhorted, and if you're an older person, notice, as a father, the younger as brothers, not putting yourself above them, but having respect for them. I can remember when I was a little kid, I was about 10 years old here in America. And there was a little old lady all the time that was a widow. Her husband had died. And she always used to go to the grocery store. And I remember, I was taught that way. I used to help her get her groceries, take them in the house, whatever she need, go to the store, get it for her. You know, it was different times. Things have really changed today. There are hundreds and thousands and millions of elderly people neglected today by their families. All over America, all over the world. But I will say this, that in other countries that I've been to, they really care for their families. As a matter of fact, they even build their houses, two or three stories, so the family members, sons and daughters, can live within the same roof. I'm not saying that's good, but they do it. They do it in other countries. They take care of the grandmother or the great-grandmother, But there's an interesting word here that Paul uses with Timothy. He says, do not rebuke. The word rebuke is very interesting in the Greek. It means to strike with blows or to verbally or physically abuse them. Interesting. To verbally and physically abuse the elderly. And yet they are being abused by so many people. Think when a young person is looking down on an old person and verbally abusing that person, instead of respecting that person in age. Among the Koreans, among the Chinese, respect is very important for the elderly. Very, very respectful. And it's really important that we understand that here, Paul, in talking to Timothy, he's talking about something that was a problem in the church. Don't rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father And what is exhorting? Exhorting means to encourage him, to strengthen him. Kind words that he needs to hear. Because already not only is he feeling his age, but maybe he lost his wife, maybe she lost her husband, whoever it may be. And it's really important that we learn to be kind, gentle, and loving. And that we know how to share with the elderly. Because, you know, in the next couple of years, there's going to be in America hundreds and hundreds and thousands and millions of elderly people. Because people are not having children like they used to have. The population is cutting down. And it's really important that here, as Timothy is being instructed, that we take it to heart in our own lives. Verse 2, look what he says. Older women as mothers, younger sisters as sisters, with all purity. Respect. He says, respect the young men. Respect the older men. Respect the older woman and the younger sisters. Especially, it comes when Paul now is dealing with the younger sisters because he says, with all purity. That is, be careful that you don't become involved sexually with any sister in the church. Be careful. Avoid looks of lust toward another sister. Secondly, he says, avoid what he calls here in all purity. He's talking about flattery, trying to flatter that person. And then avoiding thoughts that are evil. Thinking, how can I get to her? How can I seduce her and bring her to my level? Or, fourthly, avoiding all kinds of women, especially if they're not pure, but they're loose women, to really be careful. Paul is really giving good counsel here to Timothy because he was young. And there were a lot of young people within the church as there were older people in the church. And this became a great problem because sexuality was really liberal in that time. Like today. And Paul says to Timothy, be careful. Make sure that you treat older women as mothers and younger as sisters with all purity. Avoid touching them sexually. Don't put your hands on them. Respect them because they're sisters in the Lord. That's really important for a church. Because in a church like this or any other church, you know, over the years, what have we seen? We've seen so many people that come into a church and they start looking for a young woman or a young man and vice versa. And they started, you know, getting into a relationship. And pretty soon it's not a godly relationship, but an ungodly relationship. And that brings leaven into the church. It brings leaven into the church. And Paul says, make sure that the church keeps it all pure. Purity of life. Purity for the young and for the old. And then he gives us instruction concerning these old widows in verses 3 to 10. Notice this is the obligation of the church. He says, honor widows who are really widows. What do you mean, Paul? Well, he says there's a lot of them that are not really widows. They're not really telling the truth. Here, Paul the Apostle is telling us that we are to support widows. That is, they have no one to take care of them physically or materially or financially. That we as a church need to be on the alert for those that are in need, especially if they're real widows. Their husbands really have passed away and they have nobody else. That's the responsibility of the body of Christ. And that is the responsibility of the family of that person. If they have family, if they don't have family, then it becomes part of the church. That's what Paul says to Timothy. Make sure that you're taking care of this. Why? Because there are family responsibilities. Family is to take care not only of their own, but this is the real what? Christianity. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is real Christianity. I mean, how can we say we're Christians and we believe in Jesus Christ and yet we don't help those in need in our own family when they're in need? When I was 24 years old, you know, I went even younger than that, my grandmother was a widow. And when I got a job and when I got married, I made it a thing in my life to send her so much a month to take care of her in Mexico. And we didn't have the money, but I did it. Because I felt responsible. I wasn't even a Christian. But I did it. Because I felt that that's what I was taught when I was a child. She took care of me. She cared for me. Now she was old. She couldn't work. And she didn't have what we had. And yet, how can we live within our own premises and see our family not have anything, especially the elderly, and not take care of them? Paul says that's not right before the Lord. That's not true Christianity. That's not true, true Christ at work in the church. And yet, it happens everywhere. Happens everywhere. Notice what he says in verse 4. Here's what he says. But if any widow has children, so if there's a widow and he has sons or daughters or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home. That is, that you love Christ. The word piety means show them that you're a real Christian and that the love of Christ is in you. How? First, let them show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before the Lord. What do you mean repay here? He's saying remember how your parents took care of you when you had nothing and you were a child. You see? Don't forget who brought you up. Don't forget who put shoes on your feet and bought clothes for you and bought food for you and the carpet and the furniture and the house and the roof over your head. Don't forget that. He really puts the emphasis on the children and the grandchildren here. Because there's selfishness involved so many times in this area. Where people don't really want to take, I don't want to deal with it. Don't bother me with it. I'm too busy. I have no time. And yet, look what he says here. Here, the children are to take care of their parents. And notice how incredible this is here. He says, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety or the love of Christ at home, in your own home, and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before who? Before the Lord. God sees it all. God keeps the records, you see? God keeps the records. And I think this is really good, good, sound counsel given to the church today, as Paul did to Timothy in that day. Then he says this in verse 5. Now, she who is really a widow and left alone, trust in God, notice, and he says, continues in supplication and prayer night and day. So here this widow has no one to take care of her. And yet, their relationship, notice they have, is with the Lord. They're godly widows. And here he's talking about the older widows who had the gift of prayer in the church. You know, you just don't put them in a rest home. But think if they are, you know, ill or sick and they can't do much and they're in a rest home. Think what they can do. They can pray for you. They can pray for the church. You see? You never can really get out of the ministry because you can always pray for the church and you can pray for your loved ones. You can pray for your friends. So here he's directing toward that whole thing in trusting the Lord. These are women who love God and have been walking with God for a long time. This is not just any widow. These are the godly, godly widows. I could say to you that I know two widows that are just like this in my life. One of them was Neoma's mother, Grandma Kopp. I remember her when Grandpa Kopp died. She couldn't really do anything or walk, so she would sit by the window of her house every day, reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, and the most things she would do, she would intercede for Calvary Chapel, intercede for me. That's how I came to know the Lord. Intercession. And whenever I would go visit her when I was a young minister, and I go over to the house, I never forget that she would be sitting in that chair. And she would say, Raul, come over here. And I would get on my knees and she would lay hands on me and she would pray for me for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's so cool to be able to remember that and to see that as a young Christian, what she was doing for me. And at the same time, watching Neoma and watching Ed Farrell before he went to be with the Lord, and how their family was taking care of their mother. And now my wife taking care of her mother. You see? It's so neat to see that. Why? Because we're teaching our children and our grandchildren what we must do as believers. Otherwise, where's the real love of Christ and where's our true faith in Jesus Christ? That's what Paul says here to Timothy. Timothy, are you sure you know what you're doing? Look what else he says to them. This is so cool. He says, those that continue in supplication and prayers night and day. You see, and this is so cool because here he's letting not only Timothy know that these women that are godly, you can let them know your needs and they'll take your needs before the presence of the Lord in the throne of God through prayer and supplications. And God will answer your prayer because of these godly women. Godly women, godly men, whoever they may be. Verse 6. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she is still lives. Now, the church here has no obligation to lose widows. Those that are, you know, cigarette in their mouth. They're cursing the storm up, you know. And they're loose in the church, you know. They're outside of the church and they're still picking up an old man. That's what he's saying here. These old women that are still, thinking dirty and doing dirty things. That's what he's saying here. Look, let me read it to you again. But she who lives in pleasure, notice that, living for herself, living sensuous lives, she is dead while she lives. And this is not only the old women, this is the young widows too. He says young widows have a lot of time in their hands, and if they're really committed to the Lord, once their husband is gone, believe me, they're not going to stay widows for a long time. They're going to look for a new husband. Paul will tell you in a moment that. He says be careful with them too. But here he's talking about these loose old women that have dirty mouths, cigarette hanging out of their mouth, and they're drinking and they're cursing up a storm, you know, and they tell dirty jokes. He says be careful with them. And these things command that they may be blameless. He says, make sure, he says, that you tell the other, this is God's command for them. This is the church, to have a good reputation. You don't want, you know, widows to be like that. Can you imagine? I mean, in the church, you can't have that. And so Paul says, make sure you understand that this is God's teaching. This is a command from the Lord. Verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Underline that scripture. Notice what he says here. Paul goes back now to the family matters. He says, notice that those who do not take care of their family are worse than infidels, worse than unbelievers. Those who neglect their mothers and fathers. Those who neglect the widows and you don't take care of them. He says you become a denial of biblical command that God has given to love those that have helped you before when you were a child. And now you've cast them away and left them alone. Paul says that should never, ever, ever happen. The children are to take care of their parents and the grandchildren to take care of their parents in old age. Verse 9. Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man. What do you mean? These are the requirements now and the qualifications for a woman over 60 years old to be what? To be put on the list so that she can continue to pray in the church, to visit in the hospitals. You know, she could still be used in the kingdom of God. Because she's a woman that has devoted her whole life to her husband, to the Lord, and she has kept herself pure unto the Lord. She hasn't committed adultery in her husband. You see? That's what he's talking about here. Those are good wives that have always stayed true to the Lord and to their husbands. And so Paul here is reminding Timothy here, God's plan for a godly widow was that at the age of 60 years old, she would go into the ministry instead of retiring, you know, not going to Hawaii or Palm Springs, you know, and live it up. No, she says God can still use your life when you're 60 and 70 years old and 80 years old. You don't have to go into retirement. You can still be a part of the body of Christ and part of the ministry. And God can use your life. We used to have a brother in West Covina, Brother George, if you're somebody who remember him. He was a warrior. He went to be with the Lord just about, I think, 10 years ago. And every time you see that guy, he was always praying for people. He had a stack of prayer requests that he would take home with him. Never bringing attention to himself. We called him Brother George. And he was always praying for people in the body. Just an incredible brother in the Lord. As God had given him the grace to become that type of a person. Just like these people that he's talking about here. And he says here that these women have to be mature, over 60 years old, before the church can support them and help them. If they don't have anybody, they have to be godly women and they have to be mature women. And they have to be the husband, the wives of one husband. You see, they had this husband for 40, 50, 60 years. And then he went to be with the Lord. And then they're left alone, he says. Those are the kind of women, he says, that are to be in the church. Godly women. Verse 10. He says, here are the qualifications. They have to be well reported for good. Number one, because of their works. Watch what he says. If she has brought up children. So the first qualification is what? She has to be a good mother. A good mother raising up her children in the ways of the Lord. Taking care of her husband and her household needs. Secondly, if she has lodged strangers, she's to be hospitable with people. She's to entertain people. Thirdly, she is to wash the saints' feet. What do you mean by that? She's to be a servant in the church. A servant in the church. Just like so many that are here that are servants in the church. And then, if she has relieved the afflicted, that is, taking care of the afflicted, that is, by helping with food or clothing, shoes, whatever the problem may be, whatever the need may be, she's helping people that way. You see? The afflicted. Those that are in need. If she has relieved the afflicted, and if she, notice number five, and if she has diligently followed every good work, that is, she's totally committed to the Lordship of Christ. And that's why she does such a great work. Because she's really sold out to the Lord. Especially, you know, she's in her over her 60s. She's not going to get remarried. And if she does, she knows that she's going to wait on the Lord to be married to the right person in the Lord. You see? But most people, you know, they don't get married again. So you don't want to waste your days. You don't want to waste your time. You want to work for the Lord. And here's what Paul says about these women. And then, now the younger ones. Let's look at the younger ones. Verse 11 through 16. Paul says here, but refuse the younger widows. For when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry. He says, you really can't trust them. He says, because, yeah, their husband died and they're mourning and they're really sorry. But then, you know, a couple of months later or maybe a year later, they see somebody, they go, oh, interesting. He says, so you can't really give them too much responsibility because they're going to get one married again. So they can't let them get married. But the older, they don't want to get married. They want to really serve the Lord 100%. And then this is so cool what he says here. Because what he's saying here also is that if they cast off Christ, usually, you know, it could create a problem if they're really on fire for the Lord. Their husband dies. All of a sudden, when they meet somebody else, he might not be right on for the Lord. And they get physically attracted and they get into a sexual relationship with them. And there goes their Christianity. And there goes their walk with Christ. Think of how many like that has happened in the church. You see? He says, if you really desire to marry, and the Lord has put a desire in your heart, there's nothing wrong with that. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he gives you all the details there. Because God doesn't want you to be a widow the rest of your life. You're too young. You're in your 30s or 40s, even 50s. He says you can get remarried again. But the problem is beginning to fall in love with someone and then into a sexual relationship. And then, you know, no longer is Christ number one in your life. You see? But now this relationship has become number one in your life. And this guy is pulling you away from the Lord. Watch what he says, verse 12. He says, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. They've been seduced. You see? And now Christ is no longer their Lord and their Savior. And you know what? I have seen not only widows, but I have seen so many young women, beautiful young women, where their guy comes along and, you know, and manipulates this young woman and seduces her physically and then takes her out of the church. And then months, years later, you hear the consequences of their sin. It's so sad. It just breaks your heart that that happens. When we come into the house of the Lord, we don't come to look for a husband or a wife. We come to worship the Lord. We come to seek the Lord. And if the Lord does bring us to someone in the church, that's cool. But then you're going to know if it's the Lord or not the Lord. We have situations here where there have been people that have been here with husband and wife, and some other woman that was in a separation or a divorce begins to pick up on the husband that is here in the church, and eventually both of those people leave the church and he leaves his wife. And they go to another Calvary Chapel. Imagine that. We get the calls, man, I'll tell you. It's amazing. I mean, how can a person do that and sit in the house of the Lord with your concubine? That's not even your wife. Or you got a guy that's going through a separation and he says, you know, my divorce is going to be done in 6 months, but I'm already dating. Huh? Already dating? Oh, yeah, I'm already dating. Uh-uh. The Bible says you can't do that. You're committing adultery. You see? You have to give God time and space. What about if your wife wants to come back to you? You see? I had a friend that his wife left him. He waited 6 years. 6 years he waited single to see if his wife would come back. And once his wife got remarried, then he was free. And then he got remarried. You see, he did it right. And we have another friend. Same thing happened to him. His wife left him and divorced him, and she went and she got married, and it didn't work out, and divorced that person, and the Lord brought her back to her first husband. Imagine that. And I mean, that could happen. But if you don't give time for God to heal and to really wait upon him, what he wants to do, then what's going to happen? You're going to fall under the condemnation because they cast up their first faith before the Lord. They leave Christ. For sex or whatever it is, they leave Christ. Verse 13. And besides, they learn to be idle. Young women, he says, they like to go to the mall a lot. New clothes. In fashion. They have different desires than the older women. Notice that. He says, and besides this, they learn to be idle. They wander about from house to house. They never stay home. And not only idle, but also they love to gossip. Gossip and do what? And be busybodies, saying things which they ought not to. Instead of closing their mouth, they open their mouth. And they reveal secrets. He says that's why they need to get married. And they need to have a good husband that can control them. No, I'm just kidding. I'm like... All the women, they're going to write to my wife now. I want to hear from her. But look what he says. Not only idle, but also gossipers and busybodies, saying things which they ought not to. And then verse 14. Therefore, because of this, I, Paul, desire that the younger widows get married. Thank God for that. Bear children. They'll keep notice. They'll keep busy. Have babies. Manage the house. Give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Notice what he says here. This is so cool. This is the relationship the young widows under the age, you know, under not 60, but under, okay? All the way from 20 to 30, 40, 50. He says it's really important, number one, that they have babies when they get married. Children is good. Secondly, to manage their house. What do you mean? Well, like, you know, not only raising your children, but at the same time, taking care of your husband as he's at work all day long and coming home, making sure supper, his clothes, all these things, you know. And at the same time, for men, you're not going to slide, you guys. You know, the responsibility of coming home, being ready for your wife's needs too. You know, she's been baby talk all day long, ironing, washing, all that stuff. And then you go to the TV and turn it on and you don't talk to her. That's not good either, you see. It's really important when we follow the scriptures. So women are to get married and then to do these things, because you don't want to be spoken reproachfully here. And then check this out, verse 15. He says, for some already have turned aside after Satan. That is so sad. Think of all of the young women. Young women, they were in Calvary Chapel or any other church today, whether widows or not, that have turned aside to Satan because someone seduced them, or they left the church because they couldn't handle it and they went out to the world. And Satan now has a hold of them. And now they're being used. How sad. It's so sad to see so many young women end up in prostitution, end up in drugs, end up in pornography. I mean, being used by the world. But yet God has such a great plan for men and women in the Word of God. Such a great plan for all of us. And then in verse 16, he says, if any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them and do not let the church be burdened with them. What is he saying now? He says, make sure you don't put the burden on the church. If the Lord showed you, you take care of the need. Don't bring it to the church. You are the church of Jesus Christ. You see? That it may relieve those who already are widows. You see? He throws it back on the family. Mothers, fathers, children, grandchildren are to take care of what? Uncles, aunts, family. You see? All family he's talking about here. Father, we come before you this evening to thank you so much for your love and grace and mercy, says we pick it up this next Wednesday, Father, to finish chapter 15, Lord, chapter 5, Lord. And Lord God, we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that, Lord God, you would not only just teach us and lead us into all truth, but that you would give us your wisdom, Lord God. Father, to be better parents, to be better grandparents. And Father, for the young people here, Lord God, that they would be incredible people of God, Lord. As those that are not married, Father, they're single, that they would wait upon you and that you would give them the best. And Lord, as they become husband and wives, that they would take the responsibility to make sure that when they have children, Father, and also grandchildren, they will reap to their works. Father, we pray that they would be sensitive to their parents, sensitive to their families. And Lord God, give us a heart for you like never before, Jesus. We give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. And just with every eye closed, every head bowed, nobody looking around, if there's anybody here visiting with us or someone that is not a Christian, we always like to give the opportunity and the invitation that if you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you want to go to heaven, you want him to cleanse and wash all of your sins by his blood and to write your name in the book of life, then you must admit that you have sinned against God and that you need him as your Lord and Savior, and then receive him by faith and accept him into your heart, and he'll receive you. If there's anybody here, young or old, that would like to receive Christ, I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to walk up here to the front of the stage, and I'm going to pray for you. As we worship, you get up and you come, and we'll wait. Those of you that have come, I want you to pray with me this prayer. Repeat after me and ask Jesus Christ to come into your hearts, okay? Pray with me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me, to wash me by by your blood, and I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I ask you to baptize me with your Holy Spirit now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give you a Bible. You guys, right over there, you guys. See that guy? Go right over there. Cool. That's neat.